So good evening and welcome everyone, especially Dharma friends from from Indonesia and Hong Kong. And today's as usually I don't really know what I'm going to talk, but actually just a few days ago, and someone was told that you're having bad karma because you have an autistic son. And my sister have an autistic son too. But my sister never thought that she's having bad karma. Actually, she learned a lot from that. Because of her child, she becomes more compassionate and kinder person. And she learned a lot. And because of that is the practice. This is how we label someone, isn't it? You know, what is good and what is bad. And sometimes we think that we know, we don't. And especially that sometimes that it's come from individual perception is just different. I'm sure that, you know, when we look at same thing, that we look at the same thing, I can tell you 10 people have different reaction to the same thing they've seen, isn't it? You have different reactions to things because each one of us, we have our perception, we have different perceptions because of they come from different conditioning, different background. So our perception is come from our conditioning. So because of that, you know, we reinforce that. So the perception, then how, because of the perception, we develop into a certain views, you know, how we view certain things, you know. Then we believe that that is the truth. And it's okay that we have views. We have different views and opinions. The problem is sometimes we try to impose that on others. And then we think that what is best for others. And we think that we know. We hold on to our views and we think that we know what is best for others. But actually we don't, isn't it? And we try to impose on the others. We think that this is good for you. And we try to impose on our views and opinions, our views that, you know, this is right. But because of our views is also very much how we develop our views is come from our perception. The fact that we have this body. So we have our senses. We have this, our eyes base, our ear base. So when there is a contact, when we eyes, we see something, there's an object, then feeling arises. When feeling arises, there's three kinds of feelings. Pleasant feelings, unpleasant feelings, and neither pleasant or unpleasant. So, because of we are not mindful enough to aware of that, we can, because we don't see, each one of us, we have the underlying tendency. When, what are the underlying tendency of these pleasant feelings? So, pleasant, the craving, the greed, underlines our pleasant feelings. So when we feel, you know, when something is pleasant, the greed arises. So greed is the one who the greed underlies our pleasant feelings, and sometimes we because of the pleasant feelings, the greed come, the lust come. We think that we got to have it that moment, isn't it? Our mind get caught because we are not mindful enough to be able to see that we get caught by that, and the mind because of that, you know. Because of the pleasant feelings, greed arises. Unpleasant feelings, anger. So anger underlines our unpleasant feelings. So we think about it, and then the more we think about it, the more upset. So we are feeding our emotion, the negative emotion. So, and this neither pleasant or unpleasant feelings, that ignorance, under ignorance underlies this neither pleasant or unpleasant. So usually when it is neither pleasant or unpleasant, it's neutral feelings, usually what we feel, we have boredom, isn't it? Because that don't excite us. That's why sometimes when it's boredom, we try to look for excitement. And this is how the perceptions, because we have this body, the body, and then we have our senses, we have contact, and we have feelings arises, then we have perception. Feelings come to perception. So the perception, how we perceive things. What we perceive, we are actually not perceiving things purely, because already perverted by our likes and dislikes, our pleasant and unpleasant feelings. Because unpleasant feelings, we don't like it. So we start to label, identify, this is good or bad. So the perceptions, then we think about that, that is our mental formations. We think about all this, you know. For example, if someone being nasty to us, said something bad to us, so our mind started to think about how bad this person is, isn't it? But this person might not be the aspect that is we thought. Because sometimes maybe the person gone through some difficulties in life, then maybe that time they're in a bit bad mood, you know? But this is how we started to label them. We think that this is bad. This person is completely, you know? Then this we start to label them. But we are not really perceiving things as they really are. So from this, you know, with the thinking about it, then we develop these certain views of things, how we view things, how we view this person. And these certain views will go into our stream of consciousness. So the next time when we are in the same situation, the similar situation, or we see the person again, then we have that reaction, because we have the view of, oh, this person is bad. Because of our perception, our views is come from our previous experience. Based on our previous experience, this is how, so we are not really perceiving things as they really are. So our perception is according to our likes and dislikes, we perverted. So that's like sometimes we don't believe what we think because our perception. So perception is, you know, is very subjective. The perception is in the eye of the beholder. You know, some people like dogs and they think that dogs is wonderful. Some people, we have people, their phobia. When they see dogs, they run up into the bench and they really scream. And I asked this person, I said, have you ever been bitten by a dog? They said, no. But she said, I don't really know where is this coming from. Because sometimes some of this, as a Buddhist, we believe in previous life. Sometimes we don't even know where is this coming from. So each one of us, you know, what is so-called good and what is good and bad. Different of us have different perception, isn't it? It's just like myself, like even some of my relatives and some of my friends, they feel really sorry for me, the fact that I'm a nun. They think that, oh, poor thing, you know, she's a nun. You know, you leave your family, but actually I'm happy, you know. And people think that what is good for me, I remember my friends told me, one of her friends said to her, oh, her name is Billing. Billing, you're such a wonderful, you're such a beautiful person. But unfortunately that you are a Buddhist. Because you don't believe in God. I'm so worried that you're going to hell. You know? But this person really meant it, you know? Then we think that what is good for others, actually, you know, we don't. And this is how, you know, this is how we keep reinforce our perception and we develop certain views. And then we believe our views to be true. But actually our view being our view is distorted view. We are not really perceiving things purely. And the scary thing is that we try to impose on others. And sometimes we try to change others, try to change them, you know, to accept our views, you know. It's, we are all different. Even we grow in the same family. I have altogether my family, so I have 7 brothers and sisters. I can tell you, each one of us is different. We are completely different. All of us here, we are different, isn't it? But it's okay that we are different. You know, even we are, each one of us is unique. Because sometimes we try to impose on others, we try to make everybody the same. And we incur lots of suffering, not only to ourselves and to others. And it's okay. If we try to make other people the same as we do, the other person have the same views as we do, so actually we are not being kind. We try to impose on others, actually it's not kind. Loving kindness, the true loving kindness means we accept, we love others as they are. We don't try to change them. It's okay. You know, this is how, you know, the conflicts come. Argument come. Because we don't aware of that. Because lack of mindfulness again. So I think I need to give some, like, you know, sometimes we have advertisement, we have a break, you know. Now we have some advertisement for the 9th Global Conference on Buddhism. So resolving conflicts with mindfulness. So you want to know more about mindfulness, please, those who don't have tickets, so please get tickets. And you can check on the website, okay? So this is the advertisement break. Okay, we come back. So, and this is how, you know, and it's okay. We are different. It's just like, you know, just like and we live in this society. So, and we accept others as they are. Because sometimes when we attach to our own views and opinions, and actually it's wrong views. Even we are doing something good, even with best intention. So it's just like an orchestra, you know. We can't say that this is better than that, isn't it? This instrument is better than that instrument, isn't it? We can't say drum is better than the guitar better, you know. But when this come together, like all of us come together, each one of us is so unique. And we can play, we can live harmoniously together. It's just like that. Just like an orchestra, we can play a beautiful music. So they say it's important we understand that. We don't believe, we don't hold on to views and opinions. And that's because of these views and opinions, it leads to so much conflicts and fight and even war. So that's like... To develop right views, to have right views, because when right views doesn't mean that we are right and we are wrong. No. Right in the context that leads us to freedom, leads us to happiness. Even sometimes we're doing something good, someone criticizes us, we know that this is the right thing to do, it's fine. If we got upset, that means we are holding on to our views, isn't it? So then this is becomes wrong views because it leads us to suffering. It's not good or bad. Because this is how we start to label this is good, this is bad. And we have to learn, we have to practice and develop these right views, right understanding to be able to see beyond good or bad. It's not good or bad. It's just that whatever we do that leads us to suffering. You know, the views that we hold on to, then it's wrong view and lead us to more suffering. And in fact, I just remind me some years ago, there was a case that there's someone that so I've forgotten this many years ago. This happened in England. There's a group of people that they have so much compassion towards the animals, and they try, and then they're so attached. You know, being compassionate is okay, but attachment to being good, to being compassionate is a problem, because they have this self-righteousness. The problem is sometimes we have the self-righteousness. We think that the person is wrong. We try to, you know, we say that, oh, we should tell them and we should punish them because they are wrong. And this group of people put a bomb under the car of this doctors and her daughter, the doctors and the daughter, and they blow two of them. There's so much hatred. There's so much compassion to animals, but so much hatred towards human beings. This is very scary sometimes when we got stuck, if you're not aware, you know, because the thinking, you know, we're thinking about it, we got stuck in. Sometimes, you know, just only a fraction of a second. And sometimes we think that we don't do such a thing. The underlying tendency is there. The lust is still there. Greed is still there. The hatred is still there. So given the conditions, we do something, you know. And I remember that I read an article that there was a famous lawyer. So he is specialized in the criminal's case. So he's always the defendant's lawyer. So he defends the criminals. So he used to be criticized that he's being such a horrible person because he defends the criminals. So, but he said, actually, most of his cases, he said 80% of his cases, that most people, when they have commit that act, that moment they just lost their mind. They're just insane. But most of them are, you know, they're good people. So the reason why he said that I try to help them, because someone, if this person has killed someone, the person already did, we can't do anything about it. But at least we give this person the opportunities, isn't it? Yes, this person has done something wrong, some things he has committed a crime. But because of that, we all, sometimes when we overcome by anger, that moment we just lost it. But at least he said, this person still alive, but at least this person, that we give this person the opportunities. So because the person already died, we can't do anything about it. But at least, you know, he tried to help. To exercise forgiveness. Sometimes we think that we forgive others and the other person who benefit actually is not. So when we forgive someone, we are not only giving the opportunities to others, we are also giving ourselves the opportunities to practice forgiveness. So actually in this in Buddhism and the Buddhist teaching, we have many skillful means to help us. One aspect of the mindfulness is to remember. We'll be able to remember. So some of the contemplations is very useful. Contemplation is different from thinking. Thinking that is, you know, thinking will reinforce our emotion. Contemplates will stop that thinking. So the Buddhists mentioned in some... He's in the suttas. So the Buddha mentioned some of the contemplations that if you contemplate that every day, and it helps to develop mindfulness. And this contemplation also helps us to become peaceful and calm. So there are five contemplations the Buddha mentioned that we should contemplate every day. And we apply this in our daily life. We use this in our, we integrate this into our life. We contemplate, we reflect on these five facts. He said, the Buddha said, whether you are a monastic or you are a lay person, the Buddha said, you should contemplate and reflect on this every day, again and again. So what are these five contemplations the Buddha asks us to reflect? And this helps us to lead us to have a peaceful mind and a calm mind. So the first contemplation the Buddha said we should reflect on, we are subject to aging. I have not gone beyond aging. This is the fact. You know, nowadays, you know, and people try so hard, you know, to go for plastic surgery so that they don't look old or with Botox and all sorts of things, you know. And no matter how hard you try, you're still going to grow old. Isn't it part of growing old? You know, not only the skin, you know, the wrinkles comes out. It's not only with that. Our memory is gone. You know, talk about memories. There was a couple that growing old, so that the memory started to grow to go. You know, so both of them started to go for these classes, the course, how to improve the memories. So one of the tricks that they've been told, you know, that they asked them to practice, to try to write down, write a notes, you know, whatever you try to, so that you don't forget. And this is how one of the way to improve the memory. So each time you make notes, you write down. So one evening, this couple was watching, there was in the bed, watching television. And suddenly the wife told her husband, he said, oh, I'm a bit hungry, you know. I would like to have some ice cream. Can you make me some ice cream? He said, yes, I can make you some ice cream. So I want ice cream with chocolate topping. So are you sure that you don't have to write it down? So the husband said, no, I can remember. You want ice cream with chocolate topping. Yes. Oh, I think I want some cream and strawberry too. So please write down. So are you sure? He said, no, I don't have to write down. I can remember. Are you sure? He said, no, I'm sure. You want ice cream with chocolate topping, some cream and strawberry. You see, I can remember. So the husband went down to the kitchen and tried to get, went down to the kitchen for quite a long time. So the wife was thinking, what the heck of him doing down there for so long, haven't come up. So then after that, the husband came and with a toast and bacon. And then the wife asked, where's my egg? This is how, isn't it? We grow old, we don't remember, the memories go. And this is part of life, you know? But because of, we don't see the fact, we always think that we spend so much time to try to look young and, you know, beautifying, and, you know? So we don't spend time to develop our inner beauty. Our inner, you know, the inner beauty, the inner beauty is much more important. The inner beauty will bring with us. But, you know, the look will go. I remember my friends told me that her grandmother, she said, my grandmother is really vain. She's almost 80 over. She's almost close to 90. But she's like to wear makeup and she like to wear high heel. And she said that, and then she go with her to the church. So she used to hold her hand. So she hold her hand. Immediately when she sees someone, she fling my friend's hand away. Then she walk like that. She's really fling. My friend said, you know, she fling my hand and she walk like that. She just don't admit that, you know, that it's okay. Actually, it's a loss of suffering, you know. Because just imagine, it's very scary thing if we don't look at it. We don't look at this. This is the truth. To come to face the fact of existence. This is that being exists. This having this body. So the more we try to run away from it, we still have to face it one day. You know? So it's okay to grow old. We can grow old gracefully. It's fine. You know? It's okay. But the inner beauty. So we spend so much time, you know, to do things, you know, to try to beautify our body. And then we don't, you know, spend time to develop our inner quality. That inner quality will bring with us at the end of our life. You know, this, no one can take it from us. They stay with us. This inner beauty, the inner quality. You know, even if you believe in rebirth, and this you can take with you. Other thing you can take with you. So this is how we hit home. We remind ourselves. So it's okay, you know, getting old. This is part of being, having this body. This is the reality. This is a fact of existence. And the second contemplation the Buddha's encourage us to again and again to reflect. That is, I'm subject to sickness. I have not gone beyond sickness. So we all will get sick, isn't it? So sometimes we do all the right thing. We still get sick. I remember we have one of our supporters that she's very concerned of her health, and she has all the health food and she do all the right thing. But she got cancer. And when she found out that she has cancer, she couldn't believe it. She said, I do all the right thing. You know? Sometimes, like, even you do the right thing, you know, you still get sick. Because we have the body. This is the reality. So actually, the more we try to fight, the more actually that is not very good to our body, because of the whatever medication we take, you know, we have this resentment. We will not go well with us because of we are not accepting. And we look at it, this is part of, you know, doesn't mean that we don't look after our body. We still look after our body. But sometimes that is, we have limitation. No matter how hard we try to look after our body, we still get sick. So rather than me being said, why me, why I have this illness, you know. And that's why I used to tell people that are having terminal illness, I said, actually, you look at it in a positive way. That at least, you know, now you'll be able to look at your illness, and you'll be able to have rehearsal to deal with all your fears, you know, that all the fears coming up that, you know, that you'll be able to do that. But I said, if certain death, you can't do it, you know. That I said that, you know, that's why when we look at it, you know, when we reflect this again and again, because we are very forgetful. When we are sick, we say, yes, the Buddha's teaching is really true, you know. You know, then when we recover, everything we forget. We don't remember, isn't it? Again, we go back to square one. This is how three steps forwards and three steps backwards, you know. That's why it's important, the Buddha said, we reflect on this again and again and again to remind ourselves. This is one aspect of mindfulness. Reflection and contemplation help us to develop mindfulness. We've been mindful. So to remind ourselves to look at the fact, the reality of life. Sometimes whether you like it or not, that is the reality of life. Rather than be running away from things, we look at it, we face it with the positive attitude. It depends on how you look at things, you know. There is always two ways of looking at things. So whether you look at half glass of water, whether you look at it, you know, whether it's in a positive way, that is, you have half glass full, or you have half glass empty. But we still can't change the fact that it's still half glass of water. But we can always change our attitude, how we look at it. So we said, fine, you know, this is part of having this body. We get sick, you know. Sometimes when we accept our illness, actually, even though our body is sick, but at least our mind is not sick. At least we have this positive attitude. So the third contemplation the Buddha encourages to again and again to reflect on, to contemplate on, that is that I'm subject to death. I have not gone beyond death, the Buddha said. So this again and again remind ourselves. Sometimes I remember when I was young, and whenever I think of, oh, sometimes this comes up in my mind that, you know, I say, oh, how is it like if I die, you know, if I grow old? And then I try to run away. I tell myself, oh, I'm still young. I'm too young to die. So I just push it aside. You know, sometimes we think that those having terminal illness, they are dying. Actually, in fact, we all are dying, isn't it? We all are going to die. We really don't know when we are going to die. That's for sure. Maybe next moment, next day, we don't know. Because sometimes we spend so much time of, you know, worrying about things that might happen. And this is, we miss a lot, you know. So we so worrying about things, you know, that we can't get. We work so hard, we try to work so hard to get things that we think that is going to make us happy. Because we are going to die. So that's why sometimes that it's good that we reflect on that to remind ourselves. I remember that when my father passed away, after 3 months my brother passed away. And I remember that really hits me really hard. And that's really helped me a lot in my practice. Then when I remember that time when I was in Thailand, and every morning I wake up, I was really so appreciative that, wow, I'm still alive. So we become so more appreciative. We don't waste our time doing, you know, insignificant, chasing after insignificant aims. So we is actually, this contemplation is not being pessimistic, so that we become more appreciative of our life, because life is very precious. We don't take it for granted. So that's why I told people, you know, that, you know, now you're having terminal illness, at least you have chance to rehearse, you know. I said, by the time, by the end of your life, the moment you need to face, you know, whether you're ready or not ready, or whether, you know, that last moment come. You say, oh, I'm not ready yet, you know, I haven't write my will, you know, I don't want my wealth go to my certain, the people that I don't like. You can't say wait for a moment, you know, you have to go. So at least, you know, We practice, we look at it, so we deal with that, we deal with the fear. When that moment comes, we be able to die peacefully. So we're going to die, that's for sure. But how are we going to do? How we want to die? Do we want to die in fear, or do we want to die in, you know, with peaceful mind? At peace, when we die, that moment that we have to face. So that's why sometimes we become more appreciative of what we got right now. And sometimes we worry about, sometimes we spend unnecessary, you know, spend all our time worrying about, you know, things that might happen. I can guarantee you the things that you think of when they happen will not happen. The thing that you never thought that is going to happen is what happened, isn't it? it's always, you know, it's always like that. You know, some people think that, you know, oh, only if I get my dream car, I be happy and they work so hard. And actually the dream car, that's, the dream car is the car that killed them, isn't it? And then they think that they work so hard. So, you know, there is actually, is this is help us, you know, to develop this so that we don't follow that, our, because you know why? When feelings arises, that thoughts, we follow by thoughts. So when we thinking about it, then we reinforce that. So when we contemplate, actually it help us to stop the mind to go further. So this is the third one the Buddha mentioned. The fourth one the Buddha asks us to again and again to contemplate, that is, all that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will become otherwise, will become separated from me. That is, one day we have to say goodbye. No matter how much we love our loved one, there's come to a day that we need to face that. That is the reality, that is a fact of life, whether we like it or not. But it's not being pessimistic, because how many of us hurts our loved one the most, isn't it? Those who love us most, actually they are the one we hurt them. Because we tend to take it for granted, because they're always there for us. They always forgive. So we don't take it for granted. So that's like, so when you have the opportunities, please let your loved one, let them know how much you appreciate them, how much you love them. And to ask for forgiveness if you have the opportunities, so that you will not regret. And this again, it sounds like pessimistic, actually it's not. Actually this makes us become more aware of how precious life. We don't take it for granted. So how we appreciate our loved one. Because they be gone, you know. Sometimes we think that they're always there for us. We don't know this, you know, anytime. So we make the most of it while we got it. So we spend more time with our families, with our parents, and let them know how much you care that, you know. Let them know. It's very important. You know, it's very, sometimes we take it for granted, we waste all our time doing unnecessary things. And we be chasing after those things that are really insignificant, and worrying about things that are really insignificant. Life is really precious. We make the most of it while we got it. That's why when we reflect on this, it's really help us, bring us back to the earth. Because we very easily, we tend to fantasize, isn't it, into the future, and worrying about things that might happen. And then we get lost in Siberia. We don't even know how we get there, you know. And this is how. And but doing all this contemplation help us to bring us back, you know, not up in the air, bring us back to the earth. So we reflect again and again, the Buddha said. And the last one, the fifth one, the Buddha said, we are the owner of our karma, heir to our karma. We responsible, we abide and related and supported by our karma, whatever deed that we shall do, for good or for ill, of that I will be the heir. So we have to be responsible for our own action. So sometimes, like, this is how, like, people think that, you know, that they just don't want to take responsibility, you know. That whatever we do, this is the Buddha's teaching of karma, cause and effect. So sometimes we blaming, you know, we blame everybody. And then what we experience right now is not something come out of nowhere. It's not, you know. If we want to change the results, So if we keep doing the same thing, repeating the same thing, and we expect to have a different result, is that going to work? Just by wishful thinking that, you know, we change our result by continue doing what we've been doing? No. Because if we want to have a different results, we have to put in the causes. You know, things will not just happen out of nowhere. So we have to put in the causes, cause and effect. The most basic Buddhist teaching, things happen according to causes and condition. We are responsible for our own action, not only by wishful thinking. Like I know sometimes people have all like to go to temple, do all those ceremony, maybe got holy water, got, you know, and then they change their whole life, you know. It's not going to change your whole life by doing that. Because we have to put in the causes, we have to create the conditions, the cause and effect, the Buddha's teaching, the karma, you know. So if you put in the good, you know, you plant in the good seed, you know, then we have a nice juicy fruits. So it's things are not just magically, like, you know, somehow it turns up that just to have wishful thinking, you know. It's not going to happen just by, you know, or doing some ritual, you know. It's not. We are the one who have to bear the consequence whatever we do, you know. So, and then this is the last one, last joke I'm going to share with you. Okay. There was a family, a son, and the husband and wife, three of them, they've been living in a very remote area. They never been to the city, and the first time they went to the city, and they went to the shopping mall. So they start to walk. So from first floor, and then walk to the second floor, and the third floor. And certainly the husband was something attract his attention. That is the lift, because he saw that is a door open. There is a door on the wall, open and close and open and close. And there was an old lady, you know, on the wheelchair, you know, going into the lift. Then after that, you know, this old lady in the wheelchair went to the lift and she pressed the button and go to the ground floor. And then when this lift opened, and she went out, and there was a very beautiful, sexy lady, brown hair, very beautiful, you know, went into the lift, you know, it's got in that, into the lift. And then it's gone to first, second, third floor, and stop. And then open the when the lift opened, and then this husband, this man, saw this gorgeous lady, and he turned around and told the son, quick, get your mom. Sometimes we think that we have magic door, somehow can transform the wife to become a gorgeous, beautiful woman. No, you know. And sometimes we are the one. We have to bear the consequences that what we do, you know. We have to, because when we remind ourselves, so whatever we do, we contemplate, we stop and think whether this is a good thing to do, you know. Whether it's, you know, because if not, we just without thinking, you know, we just set whatever things that we like to set without thinking that, you know, that without having the consideration that whether this hurts others people, whatever we do, because what we do have an impact on others, and this helps us because sometimes we regret later, isn't it? So they said, the Buddha said, if you be able to do this, you reflect. Contemplates on these five facts of life, you know, these five, a contemplation, again and again, it will lead you to peace and calm. Your mind becomes peaceful and calm. So I offer this for a Dhamma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
Are there any?
I have.
At the beginning, you mentioned that it was somebody who asked you how to deal with an artist's son. So a son who likes to the art.
Can't get you. Can you repeat again?
Yeah. At the beginning, you started your speech saying that somebody asked you that she is facing a karma because she has a son who likes art.
Oh, yes.
Autistic.
Autistic. Because someone told this person that because you have an autistic child because of your bad karma, then you have an autistic son.
Okay. Then you move to say too that we have to respect somebody else's decision life. Yeah,
then I said that it's just that, you know, it's just that how we label others, how we think that that person having bad karma, but sometimes what we think is bad for others, the person might not think that it's bad.
Yeah. So my question is, how do you deal when somebody very close to you can be your son, your relative, your mom, or a very good friend? How do you deal when that person is taking the wrong decision that is against his physical condition, he's damaging himself and affecting the family?
Oh, so is the question is that what happened to our relatives or friends if they're doing something?
The question is, how do you deal? How you can manage? Because that person is taking a decision who is affecting him physically and mentally. So he's doing wrong things. So in that case, it's like, for example, alcoholism, drugs. How do you face that? You know that it's a wrong decision. So you cannot say, I will respect his life.
So
his decision.
Okay. I get you. So your question is how to deal with someone you know that someone behavior that is wrong, like harming themselves. So how to deal with
Okay.
That's why sometimes that this is how we have to know that we have our limitation. We can only do our best. That's why this is how sometimes we have to let it go. Even sometimes with our loved ones, we know that they're doing stupid things and we try to stop them and they don't listen. You know, it's happened. And we can only do our best. But we still love them as they are. Do you get what I mean? Because sometimes that it's difficult, we can't change the other person. Sometimes we have our limitation. We can only do our best to try to support that person, to try to help the person, direct the person to the, you know, on the right path. But no matter how hard we try sometimes, that we have our limitation, sometimes we can't change others. Depends on the person. Because, for example, just give you an example. Like, I used to have someone to bring the children, you know, that to me, like the teenage daughters that they're having drugs problem. So they said, can you help my daughters, you know? So I speak to this young lady. So I told her, I said, you know, I would love to help you. I would like to support you. But the first thing that you have to have the willingness to change. If you don't have the willingness to change, no matter how hard we try, it's not going to work. We all love you. We want to support you. We want to help you. But the person has to have the willingness to change. We can only do our best. Do you get what I mean? Is the answer your questions? Okay, this is how it's just beyond control. I mean, sometimes we have limitation. I know it's just like when my mother dying, I feel so like I just can't do anything. Like I can't help her. you know, and she's so sick. And this is how, this is part of life. But we accepted that, you know, at least we have only one arrow. We don't add on another arrow. The Buddhists talk about two arrows. The first arrow is the suffering that we cannot avoid. The Buddha said, if someone is wise, so when they've been hit, when they've been struck by an arrow, to them it's just pain, and that's it. But the Buddha said, it's a foolish person, if they're struck by an arrow, they pick up another one, they poke themselves a few more times. This is what we do. We're thinking about it, we got upset, we got angry, you know, and then we're blaming ourselves, we're blaming others. That is the second arrow, that is the suffering we add on. So yes, we feel painful, especially our loved ones, you know, that we try to help them, you know, that they're into drugs, into all this, you know. But we still accept as they are, and we know that we just can't do much about it. Because if that person have no willingness, we can't do. But at least when we accepted that person as they are, then at least we don't have the second arrow. It's still painful, but at least we lessen our suffering. So does it make sense to you? Okay. Okay. Have a safe trip back to... not yet. Back to Jhana Group. Okay. Any more questions or comments? Yes. There's over there. I think that's one.
Just following on from that lady's question that she just asked, in regards to what you were talking about when you have a loved one, I have a son with a mental illness and schizophrenia, which is quite prevalent in society at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I actually had to get a restraining order against him because he kept coming and smashing up our house and was bashing up his sister, my daughter. Is what's the karma in that relationship? Mm-hmm. How does all that work in relation to karma?
Because actually karma is a very, very complex thing. You know, it's not like so simple like we just said that, oh, you do this, you get that. Actually, it's very complicated. You know, like everything happened according to many causes and conditions. It's just, for example, I just give you the analogy, you know, for example, like we plant a seed, you still have to depend on the soil, whether there's the water and the right climates, you know, there is many, many other factors that come together. So, and especially I'm not in the position to be able to really say to you that what's the karma and this and that. That is only a speculation, might be this and might be that. So all we need to do is that what we have done in the past is just like the Buddha said, the karma, that is what we are now is because of the previous action, you know. It's just like the previous action that we have done is just like we inherited, what we experience now is just like we inherited a piece of land. Okay? So this piece of land that sometimes so-called bad karma, that maybe we so-called bad karma, this is just like a piece of land that is not fertile. But we can always do something about it in this life. We can put in fertilizer, we can plant good seeds, we can water it, we can nurture it. So what we have done, we can't do anything about it. But we can always do something about it right now. You know, just do your best. So accept the way he is. The most important thing is your side. Like, you know, it's okay that, you know, just accept the way he is. I know it's very difficult. It's a painful thing. It's very, very painful. So because the more we fight, actually, we suffer more. Because the more we push, when we push things, how is bounce back? The harder we push, the forces of bouncing back is greater. So when we accept that, yes, this is the way, you still love him, you still love him as he is. That is the real loving kindness. It's not only that you be my good boy, then only I love you. No, you still can love him. So does it make sense to you, answer the question?
Yeah, it does. And also in relation to the land and whether it was fertile or barren, there's a big dynamic in relation to that.
Mm.
And this was a few years ago, and what's happened is recently he's come back home,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing lots of meditation and going to different temples. Mm-hmm. And we're really healing,
mm-hmm.
and I can say that that the healing is coming from being so loving, compassionate, and kind. Yeah. So,
they say sometimes a lot of people don't really see the benefits because it's important than how. Because he can feel. Because, like, for example, someone is very peaceful and calm. We love to be with that person. We feel the energy, we feel the peace, and we feel the calm. But if someone very nasty, very angry person, we feel very unpleasant. Very unpleasant. It's like, it's important that you know sometimes that you, it's most important is not what you say. Actually, you teach by example. That's why as a parent, we don't demand respect. We earn our respect by teaching example, by how we live our life and how we respect others. So we have to come from us. So we can only earn respect but not to demand respect. So it's important how we live our life. So it's sadhu sadhu, very good. So I think, John?
Just nothing to do with the talk. Is there a sutta class on Sunday?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any more questions or comments? Okay. No more. Okay. Good night.